Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, the 21st day of May, 2020. I want to welcome you all to this show. I've got a great show lined up for you. Coming forthwith is going to be Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and gen6.com and Daniel Holdings, danielholdings.com. Kind of a sad day today. Eric the Tech and then my daughter's wife, that is, lost a family member last night. So just want to say, pets become part of our families, don't they? And it's rough when you lose a family member like that. So it's a sad thing. So, all right. That's why we have to take care of our furry friends. And, of course, Lady's upset and Theo's upset and, All right, so a lot of news before we bring Steve and Daniel on. I just want to cover a couple of issues here. The you remember the college scandal, the college admissions scandal, Lori Loughlin and such. Well, she was sentenced to only 2 months in the admissions cheating scandal. You know, just see how quickly justice moved in that case. And do you see how the privilege really took center stage with her only getting 2 months? Now apply that to what we see going on today with respect to Obamagate, Spygate, and other such matters. Not so much. No arrests. What is this? 5D chess? Tell me again how it's 5D chess. Tell me again how it's 4D chess or whatever. Tell me again to trust whatever the plan. Pardon me if I'm a little bit skeptical and cynical, but that's the way it is. Just to be clear, I want to mention as well, I want to thank Craig Sawyer for appearing the other day on the Hagman Report. Contraland is out. It's free. ContralandMovie.com. ContralandMovie.com is out. Look, I'm serious. I want to get 100,000 people to view it and to share that movie. Also support vetsforchildrescue.org. Now, I'm telling you right now, you're going to see on Facebook a bunch of Looney Tunes out there, and I mean this sincerely, Looney Tunes. Again, this is now in my opinion, talking about some pedophile task force that doesn't exist or promoting an organization that has not proven its existence or proven its effectiveness, whereas Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, has. And, of course, they're working with law enforcement to take down the child predators and, yes, rescue children. And there was a question I saw on the YouTube comments, well, where are the children who are rescued? Well, let me explain this to you. Okay, in cases like that, the children are protected. They are in the custody of the parents after they, of course, law enforcement, if they ever get to that point. The children who are rescued, who are victims or in hostage situations, well, of course, look, you're not talking about numbers in the thousands. At least not in that venue that Craig works in, because those numbers simply don't exist. And it really hacks me off to no end to see these people saying, I'm with the high command. I'm one man away from President Trump. Yeah. Yeah. You are one man away from President Trump. One Secret Service agent away from President Trump. Meaning a Secret Service agent wouldn't let you get near President Trump. So stop it. Again, you know, the legitimacy or the legitimate organizations are impacted by these people who make videotapes in their vehicles, in their t-shirt with snot running down their nose, in coats and boxes and bags covering the windows. Because why? Well, you know, hey, you know, gotta come, you know, because they're after me. They're after me. Well, they should be after you. It's a bunch of ridiculous crap going on out there. And I'm going to tell you that, organizations like Russ's and like Craig Sawyer's, folks, they're legitimate. They're boots on the ground. I've worked with, Russ Dizdar. I'm telling you, I've worked with them. I've seen what they do, and I've seen the victims of the, who've been rescued by, Russ and this team. I've seen the bad guys. And let me tell you, there are some evil people. Now, I have not worked boots on the ground with Craig Sawyer, but ContourlandMovie.com, that's where you go for information there. And again, that's and for that, child rescue. Yeah,
that film is free to watch.
Yeah, no one's charging anything. Yeah, it's free.
Watch it. It's good.
You know, Eric the Tech, thank you so much, man. Appreciate that, to remind people it's free. And it is good. I mean, wow. Do we have, let me know when we have them on. We're good? All right. I don't want to take any time away from my two guests, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Excuse me. And if you didn't see the virtual conference, the live stream from last weekend, oh my goodness. It was a tremendous, absolutely tremendous information packed production, and it's still available on video on demand. I'm going to have Steve Quayle talk to you about how to get that, as well as the DVDs and such. So Steve is with me, and Daniel Holdings from DanielHoldings.com, two great friends of mine, two great friends of the program. I'm going to turn this over to Steve before I start throwing things and just losing control. So, Steve, how are you this morning, sir?
Good, thank you, Doug. And I'd like to thank all of your listeners, viewers, those of us who have those of you who have listened to those of us, all of the speakers present, of course, Daniel, who's the co-interviewee today. I could not have done for what was necessary for me to do to cover basically 8,000 years of history, 250,000 years of prehistory, and then the future without the efforts and skills and talents of Daniel Holding, of whom, thank you, Daniel, very much. Doug, the thing is that from the beginning I said that Branson would happen. And I became really troubled when obviously we were told the mansion, we couldn't host it there. We were going to go there and film, but God brought it all together in such a magnificent way. And to the man and to the woman, they said this was the best True Legends conference they ever attended. There was only one guy out of, you know, thousands that basically was mad. And that's because he bought two tickets to go there in person. We refunded his money, gave him, you know, everything. And the bottom line is that was the only criticism. The fact is it flowed directed by the Holy Spirit. It gave people enough history to understand that everything we're going to see in the future has already been done in the past. And, Doug, I want to salute you for standing against the anonymous anonymity. There is no more, I would say, this frightening expression of cowardice than when people claim they're one person away from the president or this guy can call the president on the phone stuff. Everybody who's done that, look what's happening. We've got a pharmaceutical, a sorcerer that has now, and by the way, the word for sorcery and witchcraft in the book of Revelation and another place in the Old Testament is pharmakia or pharmakia, which just literally means sorcery and witchcraft, from which the whole nation has been bewitched. Are you freaking kidding me that we are going to allow ourselves to be vaccinated, shot in the arm, shot in the head? Either way, they want you dead. No, by the way, and later in the show, we're going to talk to you, and Daniel's going to share, and I'm going to shut up. And then, Daniel, when you're done speaking, turn over to me, and I will turn over to you so there's no interruption. But, Doug, again, God bless you and thank you for your stand. I watched Contraland, and Craig Sawyer is to be commended. God bless him. And some of you that are getting ready to die, I'm going to be blunt. All those children that they rescue are nothing compared to the $38 billion business of not only trafficking children for sex, but for sacrifice. I want to make it clear. Those children are being put out on the open market, not just for sex, but for sacrifice. And what's coming, and here's the deal. If I could articulate one point today. It's this. Who are you going to believe? The word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who some of you claim to believe, but you know, you have a better time claiming that Q will save you. By the way, I'm the real Q. I was on the Q files before those people showed up. An NSA program run from computers deep within the Puzzle Palace. It is absolutely not what people... What it was the what I call a narco-synthetic manifestation to control the group that would be considered the number one group that would stand in the way of New World Order, take over and take down the United States. I hope people heard that statement. And so by controlling the narrative, God, tomorrow they're going to be arrested. Tomorrow, just trust us. If I weren't on your show and we were talking privately, I'd probably say something that I wouldn't want to say publicly. It wouldn't be as bad as you think. But the deal is that this is a day and age now where people will rather believe anything than the word of God. And I think Daniel would agree to that, too. So the thing about this year's True Legends Conference, all the cataclysms that are coming down, every day you hear of asteroids splitting, asteroid showers, people seeing more UFOs. And as I said, the conference title, okay, Ancient Cataclysms and the Coming Catastrophes, and literally the pre-Adamic era and the days of Noah, you know, return to the days of Noah, we're right there. Everything that's profane, you go to the front of Drudge, you're talking about a new super mouse, human, chimera-like creation. That's not what we're... Listen, if the people saw the monsters, and by the way, I'm going to say one more thing, Daniel, turn it over to you. Right now, the greatest seismic weapon attack that's ever been launched outside of Ridgecrest, California, on July 5th, 2019, is underway against the Nevada underground bases. That would be Area 51. It would be S4. It would be the underground tunnels of Nellis Air Force Base. In essence, someone, and of course we know who is taking apart the defense and aerospace industry, the secret stuff, the Triangular 4, TR-4Bs, all of the craft, the reverse-engineered alien in concert with human willing dupes. All that stuff's being under attack because the enemies of the United States, which are preparing for World War III, Russia, China, Iran, all of those Confederate nations that are coming against us, Venezuela, we're being encircled, Doug. And that's why when Daniel Holdings wrote the book, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, I'm correcting people that want to, you know, send me these, what I would call Pollyanna does the end time stories. Are we approaching the end times? Is it going to get worse than we think? Yes, it is. We are in the end times. This is not a meow broadcast. Meow, 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 meow. Listen, Doug, you may sell coffee, and God bless you, and I pray everybody buys enough to be able to barter and trade with it. But I think I'm going to come up – oh, boy, I'm going to get in trouble on this one. Right now it goes to you, Daniel. But I'm going to come up with a special blend of meow mix, okay? And I don't know what I'm going to title it yet, but I can promise you it will be for the real, I know, I got to say it carefully, the real inner coward. There you go. I'm really being tactful here. So, Daniel, I asked you today to come on and go on with Doug and I because you and I had a conversation before the conference. And again, my sincerest heart. I could not do what I did without you. So and I share this with all of you. When you guys partner with Doug, and that's not a TV term ripoff, or support our books, our videos, our conference, that's what makes it possible for so many people to be blessed. But I asked Daniel, and here it is, Daniel, and goes to you. Tell me about now, everything where we were interviewed, you interviewed me. You obviously saw all the different topics and stuff that you were able to watch on the conference. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to watch it multiple times because there's just so much stuff there. I think this was like the Encyclopedia Realica, okay, R-E-A-L-I-C-A. So, Daniel, where are your major concerns? And as a fiction writer, you saw it coming. You wrote about it in fiction. I wrote about it in fact, fiction and fact combined. And obviously, what are your major concerns? Because I want you to go and remember this. final thoughts. I'm telling everybody who's on talk radio, with the anger and the hatred of what's going against us, we got to get it out when we have the opportunity that the Lord has opened the door. So take your liberty, Daniel. Remember, we're an equal opportunity offender on this show.
That's what you said in Jesus, the premise of the promise, that you are an equal opportunity offender, and I wholeheartedly agree. This is no time to be pulling punches. First of all, Doug, thank you so much for having me on. It's been a little while, and it's always good to be with you. Steve, you know, you and I get to talk often, and I appreciate you inviting me on to share some of what the Lord has been showing me and putting on my heart. And, you know, I want to start off my comments by saying this, and I never do this, right? I am the first guy to say that I am not a prophet, right? It's not what I do, but I have a word for your audience today, Doug, and it is simply this, a verse out of the word, a verse out of the Bible. The Bible says that the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. And one of the things, Steve, like you, I get some of my best ideas in the shower. I was taking a shower this morning, and the Lord just said to me, he said, I hate sin. And it wasn't like, oh, I hate sin. It was like, I hate sin. And, you know, when you think about where we are in terms of the end of the age, the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. What we are seeing is sin multiplied exponentially across all echelons, across all boards, and every facet of our life. We are seeing deceit rise to levels that you've never even conceived before. We're seeing death being brought on the masses, unbeknownst upon the masses, by the masses, in multiple locations, on multiple levels, and when it happens, when the trigger is pulled, people are, as you said, are going to die. They won't understand what is going on, nor will they have time to reason what just happened, because they'll be dead. So, you know, when you look at the end of the age and you look at those things that I wrote about in Midnight Strikes and that we talked about extensively in the book, Steve, you see, and look, I didn't plan it this way. It's not like I walk around and all of a sudden I hear God saying, Daniel, do this. That's not how it works. You know, the Lord put something on my heart, and then I'll begin to dig and drill down. Steve and I talked about it in the book a few times. And then it comes out the way it comes out. But it is as if everything in that book that we said was going to happen is now happening. Midnight Strikes, we said, was a call to action. It was a warning by the Creator himself, by the Lord Almighty, to his people to prepare for that which was coming. Folks, preparation is over. That which was coming is here. And you're only beginning to see the very beginning of it. Now, Doug, you were talking about child abduction and abuse and that kind of thing. That's only the tip of the iceberg as far as how dark the enemy's heart is. I mean, when we talk about sin, when we talk about deception, when we talk about death, folks, this is not fodder for talk radio. This is happening in real time in our lives. And we could go over the lies that are being spread, you know, throughout the world in order to entrap the world into the situation that we're in now with the coronavirus. And we may well get to that. But the point is that cannot be done without lies and deception being spread. So, When we talk about, as an example, and I'm just going to go here. Steve, the first thing is, you know, that's in that book, The Time of the End is the first chapter. We talk about the World Wide Web and how it made it possible to encompass the world in a prison. And the second chapter was establishing control. One of the things the Lord showed you and that we jumped off on a bunch of different rabbit trails in that book, was that the Chinese social credit system was coming to the United States. Now, you know, the book was published, I think, February 1st or something like that. And who would have guessed that this is May, although almost the end of May, who would have guessed that in a mere 3 months we would be seeing its implementation in one form of another or another all over the United States? I mean, that just blows my mind. And at the same time, you have them trying to starve us to death, and we moved from the discussions of the social credit system into chapter 3, which was cascading catastrophe, about food shortages and famine. And then we talked about persecution. And then we talked about the corruption of the word of God and how, you know, there were mealy-mouthed Christians in the pulpits and corrupting the word of God, and how the Pope himself could very well be the false prophet. But all of those things, Steve, are actually happening right now. And on top of those things, we see other warnings from the Lord that people will just write off. I mean, even Christians, they just write them off. You have locust swarms throughout the world. You have earthquakes. You have hailstones that are the size of melons. I mean, but people and rivers that turn blood red. And okay, so God is trying to warn us with these prophetic things, and then we see the physical things, the physical implementation of the end times framework right before our eyes, and people still, Steve, do not understand that this is not when the end times comes, when the tribulation comes. The tribulation is here now, but people won't understand that. They don't want to grasp that.
I think it's critical too, Doug, that the thing is, and that again, Jesus said in this world we're going to have tribulations, plural. And I've had to break my mind of looking at the segregated, the great tribulation as a period separate and distinct from tribulations. The word the does not appear in any of the scriptures. And so the thing that I think people need to understand is when the whole world lies in the evil one or under its influence. One time Daniel, the Lord asked me the question. He said, Steve, what part of the word whole don't you understand? I think I was trying to do what I call micro weaseling. Well, what about this little area over here? Unless it's redeemed, unless it's under the blood of the Lamb, unless you're redeemed and under the blood of the Lamb, the whole world lies in the evil one. And Doug, over the week, in the last week to 10 days, people from truckers, Dave Hodges has been putting out a really important story about all the secret stuff going in on Lakewood, Colorado. It's an underground 4 mile square detention facility that facilitates 15 levels. And I won't even print everything about it because it's too disturbing. And that's not melodrama, okay? But I also came into contact, and I think I sent it to you, and you know what I'm talking about, both Daniel and Doug, the list of how many guillotines are in America, by base, by city, by town, how many foreign troops are here, how many gang members have already been, in essence, brought into the killing machine that will be loosed at the appropriate time. And ladies and gentlemen, all the stuff we've warned about, all of us on talk radio for a quarter of a century, I think the main thing that you've got to get out of what Daniel just said, everything that was future, even by a day or a month or a couple weeks or a month, is now in play. And it should make everybody mad. I actually had eyewitness testimony, and I'll give it to Eric to put up, Doug. I'll have to send it when Daniel's talking. So I don't, you know, interrupt the flow of consciousness. Now, that's a good question. Is this a fully conscious Steve? I think so at this point. But the thing is that we are being told, and it says, surely Lord God will do nothing except he reveals the secrets to his servants, the prophets. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you love Jesus, he's going to warn you. And Daniel, you and I have talked about this at large. It's not that God doesn't warn us. It's that God's people don't take him seriously. Go ahead and answer that if you wouldn't mind. Because why? You've been around. Obviously, you're a writer. You're a gifted and talented researcher writer. Not flattery, just true. That's what God gifted you with. And so the deal is that why is it with all the warning, with all the things having come to pass that people simply wouldn't accept even, let's say, 5 years ago, let alone 5 months ago? What is it that, in your opinion, keeps the American Christian specifically, who has been given probably more television evangelists, more Bible, when at least it used to be preached? Answer that if you wouldn't mind, please.
You know, it's interesting that you asked me this question, because just yesterday I was having a conversation with somebody, and I asked them the very same question, and I got a great answer. And it was this. She said, Daniel, it's because they are drunk on religion.
Ooh.
Now think about the harlot in the book of Revelation. She's drunk. And what we are seeing is the American church, which I believe is the church that's warned in Revelation about being lukewarm, right? Yeah. They are drunk on religion. It's not about my walk or my relationship with the Lord anymore. It's about my rights. It's about my feeling good. It's about the fact that God loves me. But there's no responsibility on the part of the believer in their minds to walk accordingly to the word, according to the word. And so that's the first issue. And the second issue is I asked the Lord this very question that you're saying. And he said to me, he said, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, he said to me, what do you think my people did back in Isaiah's time or Ezekiel's time or Elijah's time or Elisha's time? They did the very – or Jeremiah's time. When Jeremiah was warning Israel to repent, if you don't repent, you're going to go into captivity – in spite of the warnings, in spite of the armies massing on their borders, they did not repent. And so part of it is human nature. Human nature says that, it's not going to happen. We call this, in modern language, normalcy bias. So there's this normalcy bias that runs through the veins of the American Christian. We've always had what we've had. We've always been blessed. God loves us, and therefore he will protect our country no matter what we do, no matter how we live. But I often wonder if Israel felt the same way. You know, we are God's people, and he's always going to protect us, so therefore we don't really have to pay attention to him. But, Steve, as you know, his word says, if you will, I will. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their evil ways, I will heal their land. That doesn't happen. We don't humble ourselves. We don't repent. This is our sinful nature. And the way to, audience, the way to break through that is by, look, Paul talked about beating his flesh daily. And he wasn't talking about emasculating himself, you know, with a whip or something. He was talking about the sinful man that is in all of us, a woman that is in all of us, and that we need to push that guy at arm's length. That when we have a tendency to do the things that we shouldn't be doing or ignoring the word of God, we need to push that guy aside and repent and thank God for what he's given us and make sure that we are walking uprightly before him. There is huge responsibility on the Christian to walk as a believer. This is not about – and Steve, when you wrote Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, you talked a lot about this, how, pastors in the pulpits today will just give this feel-good message, and we think we can live any old way we want. Would you say that there is a responsibility of the Christian, especially at the end of the age, to walk according to his word?
Well, absolutely, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And I see all the I've got a new word for you, Daniel, religious shenanigans going on, that they're thinking that if they honor some kind of dance ritual this is what bothers me. People are into religious ritual more than they're into relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'd rather spend 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord, just thanking him, loving him, than 2 hours or, you know, whatever, doing a hoot nanny from hell. Take that for what I call it, and trying to get people emotionally worked up. I want to present the unadulterated word of God so that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, can absolutely do what his God said he would do, to convict the world of sin, but also to lift up Jesus. So the thing is that the light has gone out. I'll say this, you probably maybe make it higher. I'd say 95% of that which professes Christendom, the glory of the Lord has basically departed. And I call those Ichabodian institutions. Ichabod, Doug, literally means the glory of the Lord has departed, coming from the scripture about Hophni, Eli the high priest, and Hophni and Phinehas, his sons, what they were doing under the religious garment or under the religious camouflage. And, you know, I won't say where and when, but I went to a certain mega city one time with mega city churches, some very, very big name preachers. And it was during the time of Y2K, and a former guy had set it up and stuff. And I will tell you this, that when I saw how a certain group were living, everybody had rolls, you guys. I'm not kidding you. I know what rolls of $100 bills look like. And that was pocket money. And a lot of them had chauffeured limousines and stuff. But what they wanted to do, I wanted to make sure that they were prepared for, you know, during Y2K at that point. It was right before the turn of the century, but
the turn of the century.
Turn of the century.
And a millennium.
I'm just wondering what century I'm in. The point is that, you know, it was astonishing to me to see how many people gave credence to this big name, big guy. And at the end of the day, it was basically, it's party hardy. It was comfort sisters. A comfort sister is a woman who is asked to sleep with a man of God in order that his needs might be fulfilled so he can focus on the ministry of Jesus. I am not kidding. I am not telling something that isn't true. So the thing is that, to make a long story short, the meeting was pretty much a wash, you know, total wash. It was worthless. I had taken bad advice. But the point being is that, what are we doing every day? Most people would put their noses down at a whore, at a prostitute, but they don't do it when they're all in either business suits as men or supposedly the finest attire as congresswomen and senators. Yet, what does a whore or prostitute do? Look, unless you're, Haggy, I'm being told to go marry Gomer, you know, I don't think that's a good thing, but yet we become a nation of adulterers. I think that's something that I want you to address. So tell me too, tell us, because I'm anxious to hear, and ladies and gentlemen, we haven't had an extensive long talk because I've been caught up with the True Legends conference and everything. And by the way, God worked miracles. Doug, to a T, people said it was the best conference ever. And we were worried that because of all the situation with COVID and, you know, lockdowns, shutdowns, no food in Branson enough to handle 2,500 people, all the legal ramifications, anybody puts on a conference, one person is showing up at COVID, everybody is put into quarantine, and the person who funds the event is responsible for the finances of the event. I had insurance to cover it. Even while the policy was in effect, they changed the wording on my insurance policy. People said they can't do that. They did do that. Doug, you know.
Yeah, they can do it. They did it. And by the way, please, if you don't mind, tell people how they can still take advantage of that conference, because people who have missed it want to know if they can, for example, still get video on demand or DVDs.
Sure. They can go to gen6.com. Video on demand is available. That means you can watch it as many times as you want. GENSIX.com. There's a place to sign up for video on demand. Then also the DVDs. The DVDs are in production right now. And I believe that's God's purpose too, because normally after the conference, it takes at least a month to 6 weeks, the fastest to get the DVDs out. And they're in production right now. So as of yesterday, all the final proofs have been approved. And ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you this, that I was blown away just that the composition, given the fact that everybody had to be in separate studios, everybody had to be under their own leading from the Lord, the continuity of the information. Now, obviously, there are some people there that obviously don't believe as I do on the difference between the rapture and the second coming and all that stuff. But throwing that aside, here's the deal. The information was a consistent and fluid presentation of the Word of God. Gary Wayne did a magnificent job of explaining the difference between a pre-Adamic earth and a post-Adamic earth. That means prior to the creation of Adam, after the creation of Adam. Now the headlines are being filled, Doug, with so many of new ancient civilizations being found. Oh, gee, new revelations in the Holy Land. So again, ladies and gentlemen, go to gen6.com. You can go immediately to Vimeo. Once you sign up, obviously pay for it, and you have to go, and then you can watch any of the presentations. Again, the thing that I had to do, and Daniel, you'll be happy to know this, I had my version image re-edited. Nothing changed in the presentation except instead of having a widescreen wide shot, because of the amount of incredibly detailed artwork and concept artwork, I wanted people to see that, not on the reflection of a big screen TV. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go as quickly, as expeditiously as you can, because even since that time, Daniel, the headlines are echoing the statement. You're going to see the subject matter that's covered in Branson, in this case, the virtual presentation, now in the headline. So I want to get you right into, you know, okay, Midnight Strikes, you covered this, 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 and this. Now what do you see? And if you would, when you say, you put your own time limit on, and ladies and gentlemen, he's not saying it's going to happen within that time, but what I want Daniel to do, because of again, his ability to be consistent and linear, oh, how I admire that gifting, the bottom line is that, you know, share with the people how you see it coming, how you see it playing out right now in the headlines of the day.
Well, you know, Doug, you can appreciate this. When the audience at Branson or the live streaming saw Steve's presentation, audience, I got to tell you, that's only a fraction of what he has. I mean, it was we could not get everything that he wanted to initially talk about in that 2-hour presentation. It just wasn't going to happen. So, Doug, what I experienced was being baptized once again into the mind of Steve Quayle.
That's an experience.
And, audience, I got to tell you, you see Steve from the perspective of a talk show host, and he's a watchman. He's been around a long time, but I have had the honor and the pleasure of sitting right next to him and listening to him, and bouncing ideas back and forth. There is virtually no one that I know, and I know a lot of people, but there's virtually no one that I know that has as much information in his head than Steve Quayle does. Now, sometimes he's right. A lot of that stuff gets jumbled up and it doesn't come out in an orderly fashion. And in fact, if you can imagine, the crap hitting the fan, that's kind of like some of the way that Steve downloads, just boom, it's all out. But, the stuff that he had and that he had to soar through is amazing. So my point is that when you see that video conference, and I can't speak to the other guys because I didn't do their presentations. I did Steve's presentation. But when you see his presentation, what you have to understand is he's only giving you a fraction of what he knows. So if he is telling you that which once was will be again, he has tons of reasons to back that up. And so anyway, to his credit, he was able to sit down and to linearly go through these things, in such a way that, that we could put him on video so that he was able to present them in an understandable way. And he did a marvelous job. You know, you asked me, Steve, so what's going on now? And again, I have to go back to what I wrote in Midnight Strikes. Because Midnight Strikes audience, for those of you that don't know, it's based upon the things that the Lord showed Steve that were going to happen just before they happened, at the end of the age. So I'm going to read a couple of things just off the top. I know I hate reading on camera, but it's important. The first thing that is in Midnight Strikes is that China, so, and these are exactly what the Lord told Steve in his own words. They're not doctored and I'm not perusing them. They're in the book in this order. China's social credit system is coming to the U.S. That's one. Two, television will go silent outside of official government channels. That's two. Three, retail stores dependent on, now get this. Retail stores dependent on just-in-time inventory will collapse in specific areas of the country, and middle-class consumers will find nothing available to buy. That's already happening, folks. Try to go to the store and buy beef right now or chicken. See how much the price of beef or chicken or pork has actually went up in the last 3 or 4 weeks. The next one, banking and credit will collapse as barter becomes the order of the day. The next thing he showed him, outside of regional financial strength in some areas of the country, a complete trucking halt will take place, bringing empty shelves to the forefront of everyone's mind. And these last two I'll just hit real quick. Airline travel will collapse. What are you hearing about? The airlines need a bailout right now because it's so terrible in the industry. Richard Branson's Virgin Atlantic has actually got their hand out to the government because they're talking about defaulting. And Christians will start killing Christians. That's just the first 7 or 8 things in that book that were covered in the first chapters. And all of those things, Steve, are happening in one way or another right now. You asked me what was going to happen. All I can do is point to the news. You mentioned the various, and you actually say this later on in the book. You mentioned the various things that they are finding in other parts, ancient civilizations, and how they are shocked by this. But you said that there would, and I'm trying to remember this without going back to the book, you said that there would be a time when those ancient civilizations would be uncovered and they would become commonplace, that people would begin to understand them. You also said that there would be a time when chimeraism would be common knowledge and the talk of the day. You also said that cannibalism would go mainstream, that people would understand these things. Folks, all of those things in one form or another that I just named off, 10, 11, 12 things, are happening right now. All you have to do is look at the news. So, you know, Steve, I was talking to you about this. One of the things that I intend to do is to write a follow-up book to Midnight Strikes. It'll be a little different, but when we went to press with Midnight Strikes, excuse me, one of the things that was happening was, excuse me, one of the things that was starting to happen, or that we had already talked about, you and I had been watching it for a couple months, was coronavirus. We saw it coming. We had intelligence about coronavirus, and as kind of not an afterthought, but the last thing that went into the book was about coronavirus. And so we had no idea at that time how COVID-19 would affect the world. Now, folks, I'm not sitting here saying that coronavirus, that COVID-19 isn't real. It's obviously real. People are dying. But it is a part of the plan to manipulate the populace. It is a means by which the elites, the globalists, the Illuminati, you call them what they will, the Luciferians, it is a means by which they are moving forward their plan. All of the things that I just talked about, all of the things that I just pointed at in Midnight Strikes and more, are part of that plan. What Steve and I didn't know at the time is that that was the triggering event. That's the black swan event that launches everything else. And because of that, what you are seeing is the acceleration of everything in that book and more. Now, Steve, some people may be listening to this and they may say, oh, wait a minute, that's overreaching. That's alarmism. That's just a way that they want to sell books, right? Am I exaggerating the point?
No, not at all. And, you know, here's the deal. Even the acceleration, Doug, and all the events we see taking place, people are losing their ability to have an anchor, if you will, and a mental compartment that they can process all the data. Because when you start looking beyond just the disease to the outcome, and that's what I want people to understand, you've got to look beyond the initiatory problem as to how the outcome of that will be used, okay, to enslave and to destroy mankind. Doug, I think, I don't know if I'm okay on your screen. It looks like I might be cutting my head off or something, but here's the deal. I've talked for 25 years on prison camps, FEMA camps. I've talked, as others have, Alex Jones has done it in his videos. All those who have been on talk radio for a quarter of a century or longer have told people over and over and over, and all the military exercises and all of the exercises that turned hot and went into a false flag scenario. And one of the things that bothers me is that the Bible is very specific and clear about some people pronounce it pharmakia, and other people that are the Greek scholars call it pharmakia. P-H-A-R-M-A, I think K-A-E-I-A, or I might have added an extra A. But that's translated sorceries and witchcraft. And now you have one of the most largest and most prominent heads of the pharmaceutical industry going to oversee they're going to call them the vaccine czar. Well, excuse me, the most unproven technology. And Mike Adams, I talked to him yesterday, Doug. He was deplatformed because he put up the video Plandemic. Everybody's got to see that Plandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make it clear to you. Jesus himself said if he didn't shorten the days, there'd be no flesh left alive. This isn't just about Bill Gates of hell controlling the pharmaceutical narrative, controlling the prophets of the genetically engineered bioweapon. This is about the destruction of humanity. And, you know, Daniel, when I started writing and talking about genetic Armageddon, Doug, and then terminated, the end of man is here. I mean, people called me every kind of fearmonger, fear porn, fear porn for profit. They've said all that. But where the hell were they? And I'm saying this, and I'm using the word hell. If you're offended by that, you need to basically quit listening to Doug Hagman and go sit in a bathtub with rubber duckies and sing Rubber Ducky, You're the One. I'll just deny reality and you'll deliver me. You know, I mean, the bottom line is there's no room in the reality world for a bathtub of bubbles and rubber duckies. Boy, there's a nice illustration. That's even beyond in my world. That's even beyond meow, 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 meow. Okay. So the rubber ducky crew, the thing is that we're now in this time frame. When I wrote Genetic Armageddon, Doug, and you and I were both talking about that years ago, I said, today's technology, tomorrow's monsters. And again, one of the things that people better get used to, what's going on in Area 51, I'm jumping around, I'll come back, maybe, at Area 51, S4, all the secret government bases that are the aerospace crown jewels are under Russian scalar weapons attack, gravity well weapons attack, and seismic, what are called thumpers. They just imagine this, that you can create standing waves, triangulate standing waves, aim those standing waves that begin to liquefy or put into liquefaction, the process of liquefaction, even solid granite. So somebody's making war on the American defense establishment's crown jewels. And what the byproduct of that's going to be is some of those bases have alien-human hybrids. I detailed that in last year's presentation. If you remember, Daniel, all the half-human, half-alien chimeras, human-animal chimeras. And so, you know, when Bill Joy wrote his treatise, which was in Wired magazine almost 20 years ago, I think it was, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us Anymore, here's the thing. The future is a future of people that no longer exist. All the technocrats, the bureaucrats, and especially the demon rats, the Democrats, have all declared war on the God of heaven. The kings of the earth, and you could call them the technology kings, have set themselves against the Lord's anointed. That's Jesus Christ saying, we're not going to have Jesus rule over us. We don't know him. We don't need his eternal life. We're going to live forever. We're going to download our perpetual souls into perpetual new bodies with our perpetual perversions. That's it. Perpetual perversions. That's their estimation and goal of the real purpose. So the people that I get emails from, and they're well-meaning, doesn't mean I'm trying to be ill-meaning, but what I'm saying is this, after the spelling out in research detail, look, you don't have to take my word for anything, but I got enough footnotes in the books that women's shoe stores would be jealous, because if you've ever seen a woman's closet, they like shoes. I wonder if that's because they got tired of running around barefooted all these years. I don't know. Actually, I finally talked to my wife and understood why that she likes shoes. I kind of do. The bottom line is that we're at this point now in time where the end of man is upon us. And again, when Jesus said, if he didn't shorten the days for the elect's sake, that's us redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, there'd be no flesh left alive. So what I find interesting, Daniel, I'll turn it right over to you. It doesn't seem like human decimation and extinction by any and all means that the devil and his multi, you know, however many earth years existence that he's learned to play humans, play creation even prior to humans, to destroy. It's still amazing to me that somehow people believe there's a political solution to a spiritual problem. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually was going to bring this up. So when the word says that, and you just quoted the verse, so that the kings of the earth set their hearts against the Lord God Almighty, audience, we need to understand something, okay? And I'm going to make some people upset, but it's the truth. I don't know how else to say it other than tell you the truth. You look at the Democrats and you get upset at them, and you should because of the things that they're doing. But I want you all to understand something. The Republicans aren't any better.
Yes.
You need to understand that both wings, the left wing and the right wing, are two wings of the same bird. They're two sides of the same coin. It's the kings of the earth that Steve just mentioned that have put this plan into place. We are seeing the absolute decimation of the human race, and Steve is absolutely right when he talks about that, and as he talked about in Genetic Armageddon, when he talks about that that mankind would be killed off. We should clarify, mankind as we know him will be killed off because of. As an example, one of the things that he just talked about was vaccines. One of the things that COVID-19, and you asked me, Steve, about to talk about where things are going. One of the things that will happen, and you and I briefly talked about this the other day. One of the things that I believe will happen is that everyone will be made to be vaccinated for COVID-19. That is the excuse that they will use. Now, okay. This is not a mere anti-vax discussion. This is not where I'm getting at. Although I don't believe in vaccinations anyway. But the point is, because the mutation rate of COVID-19 is so high, they cannot vaccinate for any one thing. So what you are looking at, to use your word, Steve, is perpetual vaccinations. How is it that the government can ensure that people get perpetually vaccinated? Well, the only way to do that, aside from lining people up and shooting them in the arm, is to put a device in people's bodies that will cause them to be vaccinated as the virus mutates. So what you were seeing is a medical device, and you and I both know, Steve, that they exist now, that will pump this medication into this poison into your system in order to vaccinate you against COVID-19. But what they will not tell you is that device and those vaccinations will change your DNA.
Yep.
So therefore, you will not be the human that you were before the device and before the vaccination. What we are talking about, audience, is the mark of the beast. The reason why people that take the mark of the beast, and we talked about it in Midnight Strikes, the reason why people that take the mark of the beast cannot be redeemed is because Jesus came for humans. And if you change your DNA and if you are no longer human, you're outside of the purview of his redemption. So this is the push that the elites are actually moving toward right now. And Doug Hagman, you have your finger on the pulse of society. It's one of the reasons why I listen to you and I like you. Now, one of the things, Doug, that blows me away is the fact that whatever the government says, whatever line they give them, whatever lie that they pump out to the masses, right? Whatever what's that word? It starts with C. I can't think of it. But whatever they say, the vast majority of citizens in this country and other countries will buy it hook, line, and sinker. Doug, am I exaggerating?
No, not at all. Yeah, we see it. Look, never before has it been more clear in my view than with this communist Chinese party virus. It is, and it's a perfect, look, it's a perfect tool. It's a perfect means to an end. You can't see it. You know, is it in the air? Is it on the surface? Is it, floating around? It's the perfect, vehicle to usher in the tyrannical response. And it's the response that really will be the responsible for the demise in my view. It's the tyrannical response that will lead to mass casualty events, much like our reluctance to protest what's going on right now will lead to bloodshed later. So by our inaction or acquiescence to the powers, that will lead, in my view, to a bloody outcome. So yes, you are absolutely correct. People buy this and you know, it's amazing. You can watch people drive around in their own vehicles by themselves wearing, surgical masks. I don't quite get that. and of course, I mentioned this before and I'm going to shut up, but they painted circles in Brooklyn. And I know where this park is, as a matter of fact, in a park, the circles, white circles on grass, 6 feet apart. And it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind that you had people without prodding going to these circles to sit on the grass. Now think about that, folks. No one's prodding them. No one's got a gun and saying you got to sit there. There's no pen, you know, around. They're just like sheep going there. So there you have it.
Well, you know, Steve, I was in Kroger the other day and it was late. I ran in for some, I actually had to use the restroom. That's why I ran in. I went in through the indoor nobody's around, right? So I actually felt guilty because my car was parked. You know, they make you now to go all the way around the store to go out. So you come in one door, you go all the way around the store to go out. So I went through, I went out the indoor. So I felt like a criminal, but that's the kind of mentality that Doug is talking about. They have criminalized free will. They have criminalized your freedoms. And this is what's crazy. So along with that, along with the mutations that they would bring about with the vaccinations of people for COVID-19, Steve, those things that they could not do in time of peace and time of calm, they are doing now. Doug just hit the nail on the head. They have been trying to kick off a civil war for years. I mean, they've tried Ferguson, they've tried a bunch of other places, Oakland. They tried all of these things, but what they could not do that way, they will do with COVID-19. Because there will be, and Doug's absolutely right, a time in the very near future where the lines will be drawn and we will see this huge chasm between the left and the right dissolve into bloodshed. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing I said, too, ladies and gentlemen, years ago, one of the first statements when I was on KHNC at Johnstown, Colorado, I said, as goes South Africa, so goes the United States. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, obviously the first thing after Mandela, they disarmed the whites, they disarmed the white military pretty much. There were still some of the Afrikaners still in the military. But now what you see is a provocation of the race struggle there that was pretty much non-existent. It's just like in the United States. What Mandela was to South Africa, Obama was to the United States. Obama set race relationship back, in my opinion, 50 years at least. So the Communist Manifesto and Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radical States, they have to have a revolution. They have to bring about indebtedness, gross indebtedness. There is no sanity in the marketplace. By the way, Doug, if you could put this chart up, I want to show something to prove something. I sent Eric a chart of how gold, silver, and the Dow have performed over the year. And thanks to Jack M, who said,
hey, Steve, it to me. Hey, Steve, brother, we didn't get it. We were looking for it. If you did send it, we have not gotten it. So if you want to send it to me, Eric, I'll make sure. Just send it to me.
Yeah, just have Eric go on my photo of the day on my website. Oh, okay. Steve, comments right there. I think that happened the last time, too.
Yeah.
So the thing that I want people to understand is this. There is no value in a society that's lost its godly value or its moral compass, right and wrong. You can't have as much debt as we have. It's in the trillions. In my opinion, is off-budget debt is in the quadrillions. We're going to need a jubilee. But the debt jubilee will be at the hands of the Antichrist, not at the hands of the living God. He will make a deal that most people couldn't refuse. You get to have your house free. You get to have your car free. You get to have a free lunch. But guess what? The price of that is your eternal soul. Because there it is. Thank you. What this shows, and again, thanks, Eric. What this shows is gold's up 36%. Silver's up whatever's set on the top. You know, everything beat the Dow. The Dow is a magician's amulet. And the bottom line is gold and silver both outperformed the Dow. That's why there's no gold and silver available like before everything started to go into the panic phase. Doug, years ago on your show, I said the day would come when gold and silver would basically, didn't matter what the price was being announced, but you couldn't buy it unless you went into what would be called a barter mode or a free market mode. And Daniel, there's the fulfillment of one of those things that you quoted me on in Midnight Strikes, bartering. In any free market, you have a bid and an acceptance. I want to buy that turkey. I want to buy that cow. The farmer says, I'll sell you that cow for $3,000. I'll sell you the turkey for $300. And then you're going to have to come to an arrival of what that farmer will accept as payment for the transaction. So what I want people to understand right now, If you wake up tomorrow and there's no bid for gold or silver, just understand this. That is the magician's amulet. I right now, people are saying to me, they call Tyler, my son, they send me emails. Is there any gold available? Is there any gold available? People only want what they can't get at the time they want it, and at the time they want it, they can't get it. That's kind of a double talk, but that's true. I remember saying, and again, Doug, you've heard me say this, this is to show the times. People don't want to be holding, let's say their entire retirement is in dollars. The American dollar's value is depreciating. It's depreciating. I believe we're going into, we'll have price inflation, meaning especially food will cost more, but you're seeing the total deflationary collapse of the United States, in my opinion. You're seeing it in the car business. You're seeing it in the automobile business. You're seeing it in the credit card. Look about all the forgiveness of credit card debt or a 90-day moratorium on auto payments and some of the mortgage lenders, 90 days. What happens when the 90 days is up? Mm-hmm. There's still 38 million people unemployed. Oh, and by the way, the very first number was 33 million, which is the Illuminati signature that they're running the show. So the thing is that what happens is when a nation forgets God, all of the enemies, not just foreign armies, and we should get to that today too, Daniel, because the positioning of Chinese subs off of the West Coast, Russian subs West Coast, Gulf Coast, and the Atlantic, the newly found volcanic calderas on the East Coast off of Virginia and Norfolk, and all these months, Doug, I've been putting up, and one of the shows we did, Eric put up the NASA planes flying repetitive patterns over some of the most geothermal and also volcanically unstable places. Let me share something again about Area 51. Those secret military bases all exist over a secondary caldera and over a magma plume. And the one that's in Ridgecrest is 275 cubic miles. And now, like two ends of a barbell or dumbbell, those things have merged. Not good. Not good at all. So what's happening is this. Everything that made America great. Did you see the two fighters that went down last week? Or how about we're sending a stealth fighter into Venezuela and the Chinese radar, I think it's J-37 or something, picks it up. And so do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? I'm on record as saying this, and I will tell you this. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Your belief is not my responsibility. My obedience to what the Lord has shown me. I said the Air Force declared war on the living God pretty close to 20 years ago. They've been kicking out the Christians. And I said, when it comes time for the wars that they could have won, that could have been fought, I said, our equipment will fail. And then we've got a long list of failures. Same thing I said, as each branch of the military rebuked God, invoked those actions that bring the curse of God. You see, at the end of the day, you know what it is, Doug? And you know what it is, Daniel? They hate God. It can only be stated as this. They hate God. In God we trust? No. In Lucifer they trust. And God says, you guys want to trust in Lucifer? Let me show you what his end. For the record, God takes no pleasure in the wicked's destruction. None whatsoever. How could he? He created all of us in his image and likeness. Satan knows that, so Satan comes upon the planet in full force and fury to get the people of God to do that which demands God's righteous indignation and holy indignation. That's why the devil hates the R word, the second R word. The first one is resurrection, okay? That's above all. The second one is repentance, because repentance on a personal level, and yes, I do know what repentance is all about, as I get an opportunity to practice it quite frequently. And I'm saying, God, you got to change my heart. You got to change my attitude. You got to change my mouth. But the point is that, Doug, the frustration comes in this. The lemmings that are going over the cliff, the Pied Pipers of perdition, the pukes in the pulpit. I'm talking about ungodly men denying the Lord Jesus Christ for any godly man or woman preaching Jesus, Jesus crucified, rising from the dead, coming back again in the clouds to take those who are the redeemed of the Lord with him. I am hallelujah for any preacher, any Bible teacher, any prophets, prophetesses, real ones that are proclaiming Jesus and him crucified. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. They've got that figured out. We don't yet. They hate us. They want to kill us. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you the numbers. 256,000 guillotines in the United States, equally distributed into military bases and FEMA camps. And somebody says, well, I work at FEMA. I've never seen them. You don't have the clearance necessary. All of this is orchestrated by a fallen angel hierarchy. I'm not talking about little cherubs just set on the mantle, during certain times of the year. I'm talking about the most powerful entities in the universe. Yet Jesus said, he gives you and I, he gives us authority, and he gives us power and authority over all those things, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. But when we fail to accept and call out and walk in that authority and power, people die around us. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, you know, you mentioned repentance, right? It's my firm belief that we should live a life of repentance. I don't care if you think that you shouldn't have said this, or you should have done this, or maybe you treated somebody wrongly, and no, you know what? When we are compared to the living God, we need to repent often, and that should be our heart. That Lord, you know, change my heart, make it more like yours. So we all should live a life of repentance, and that is the difference between feel-good Christians today. It's all feel-good Christians today will say it's all about me, it's all about God's love, I can do whatever I want. There's no repentance of their hearts. So the very fact, Steve, that you recognize when you are doing something, say something that you shouldn't say or act a certain way you shouldn't act, and you repent by it, that means that you are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Folks, we need to have a heart like that. We need to have a heart of repentance when it comes to God. But I want to get back to something you said just a second ago. You were talking about the markets and how nothing in them, Steve, and Doug, that I was a financial guy for a long time, how nothing in the markets is real. It is all lies. And what they are doing right now, when you talk about the debt, again, it's in Midnight Strikes, when you talk about the debt that the country has, it is, folks, you could go back and forth to the moon if you lined up dollars, back and forth. Not just once or twice, but consistently. Back and forth to the moon is if you lined up all the dollars on end to end for the debt that we have. What they are doing is destroying the dollar. Folks, you need to understand this. This is planned. They are taking down the dollar. And you know, there was something that came up a couple weeks ago, Steve. It said, and I think it was Trump that said that they made a big deal of it. It was in the news for a day, but then it went away. But I heard it, and I thought it was very interesting. He said that the Federal Reserve was now coming under the auspice of the U.S. government. Now, the Fed, for those of you that don't know, the Federal Reserve, despite the name that federal in it, it's never been part of the U.S. government. It is a cartel of bankers, right? They are bankers joined together at the hip that control monetary policy in the United States. They already have power. They already have we are already beholden to them. When China stopped buying our debt, when Russia stopped buying our debt, who bought our debt? Who bought bonds? It was the Fed. So the U.S. government already owes the Fed. And so therefore, the Fed already owns the U.S. government. I would submit to you, Steve, that the Fed did not come under the U.S. government's control. The U.S. government control finally and fully came under the Fed. So what does that mean exactly? That means that people that aren't elected, and it's always been kind of like this, but why we are seeing an acceleration of things is because they are fully in control now. They want to move forward to the next part of their plan. What's the next part of their plan? The next part of the plan is a one-world digital currency. And this is why, you know, when you hear about COVID-19, they're talking about a digital currency because paper money has germs on it and it's not clean. And so we need to get this digital currency going in order to do it. Now, exactly who will control, what country will control that digital currency? I don't know. China is talking about coming out with a Bitcoin type thing, a digital currency that's backed by gold. The United States has talked about this kind of thing. I don't know what the next inception of the world reserve currency will be, but Steve, in Midnight Strikes, you actually said, you called it, you said that it would be a digital currency and it would be backed by gold. That's what you said. As I did the research, I found it to be absolutely accurate, and what we are seeing now is this movement toward a digital currency. But before that happens, the U.S. dollar has to die. So what are they doing? They are diluting the value of the dollar by printing money like crazy. You know, when you looked at QE1 and QE2 and QE Infinite, that doesn't hold a T to what they're doing now. It is amazing to me how they can dilute the U.S. dollar the way that they are. This is why it costs you, you know, almost twice as much for a pound of hamburger than it did a month ago, because they're printing dollars. It's mind-boggling what they're doing. Now they're talking about another bailout for the American public that is sitting around on their butts and would rather stay home instead of going back to work, because they actually make more money if they're sitting home. The point is this, that they are purposely killing the dollar. They're doing it for several reasons, but the main reason is to bring in the next world reserve currency, and they can't do that unless the dollar dies. Now, what you will see as a result of that in the United States audience is hyperinflation. Again, in Midnight Strikes, we talked about hyperinflation. You will see, Steve, what's the verse in the word that says it'll take a month's wages for a loaf of bread or something like that?
Yeah, it's and by the way, Sean Modena, God bless you, Sean, in South Africa, looked at it. It's a denarius. Do you know what that means? Most people think a penny in our terms, you know. It's talking about the judgment that comes on the land when food is that rare. The denarius, I didn't know this. Sean got a revelation from the Lord, went and looked it up. That's 20 donkeys. In other words, what it would cost to get 20 donkeys with the denarius in the New Testament times is what it's going to cost for a loaf of bread. And it goes directly to when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And because basically scripture says what, Daniel? All that a man has will he – I mean, when you're starving, stuff doesn't matter, you know? Right. And the thing is that the denarius – and I never knew that. I thought it was just, you know, a couple pennies and then you translate it. But in essence – 20 asses cost a lot of money. Unfortunately, dumb asses are free on command, you know, but 20 donkeys cost a denarius. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that the price was so high that only the most wealthy could eat. And like somebody, I saw an article, I think I posted it. There's plenty of meat. It's just the cost will be exorbitant. So what you're talking about, Daniel and Doug, this is critical that your listeners, our listeners, the audience understands this. Is that the plan is to not turn it around and turn it back to normal. The plan is to cause people in the United States to lose their homes, their livelihoods, their cars. What do you think it would do with all the student loans? The Democrats are already publicly talking about their new Green Deal, where your debts will be forgiven. Guess what? You got to take the mark. You belong to the company now. I owe my soul to the company store. And, obviously, Doug, you live in Erie, Pennsylvania, but this will make the company store in Erie, Pennsylvania on the Erie Canal the cost of just living. Remember, all these guys wanted until the invention of robots, they wanted the cheapest labor they could get, paying the least amount of money they could pay to maximize their greed and profits, okay? That's Robert Barron capitalism. That's not my definition of capitalism. Capitalism was each man, by his efforts, reaps the rewards of his labors, you know, and in an equitable society. From the time printed money was put into operation, the American people's livelihoods, their lives, their future, their grandchildren's future, and their great-grandchildren have been basically wiped out. So, ladies and gentlemen, how will it come to pass that when there's no meat in McDonald's, there's no meat in Wendy's now being served, and I'm not kidding, and for the record, and we got to get here, Doug, In the last, how long? The last five days, 120 hours, the positioning of Russia and Chinese troops and assets worldwide preparing for war. One of the things that people don't understand, especially, I know that military planners do it. Daniel, I've never been in the military, but you've got to basically move an army, not only with transportation and oil, but you got to feed them along the way.
Right.
Russia has the biggest wheat crop in the history of the world. Wasn't Vladimir Putin putting God down? And he at least made, you know, peace with the Russian Orthodox Church. And they're telling everybody the Pope is the Antichrist. I'm going, I agree with the Russian Orthodox. You know, I only agree that he's a false prophet, not the Antichrist. But the point is that now we've got a situation where the biggest soybean producers, non-GMO soybean producers, are in Turkey. And they're friends with Russia. So you've got the soybean market and the wheat market very much under the control of Russia. And all I can say is this, it's the United States that made war on God, and I don't think I want to be numbered amongst those who make war on God. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of God at some point in the future, I wish I could tell you when, but they, I've said this, Daniel and Doug, for years and years and years, okay? It's not that they just want to take your life. That's just a given. They want you out of the way. It's not that they want to destroy the human workforce. That's true, too, because they're going to put robots in place. But they want everybody's stuff. They want everybody's stuff. That means, you know, you got a, you know, guitar in the corner or a lion picture behind or, you know, whatever. I got weird stuff. The bottom line, somebody's going to be happy with that. But here's the thing. A nation that forsakes God, you can watch the pattern. We basically, the next thing that happens is, according to, you know, Pastor Langford, I think, was made the statement that he saw us in the taking away phase, where basically we're being plundered, and the people that live after the invasion on the West Coast, the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, and coming in from the North, is going to basically, we're going into captivity. That's the word he said, captive, just like the children of Israel did in Babylon. And I want you to know something. I learned something from some war planners and guys who really know what they're talking about. The Russian battle of order of battle is that I thought they all launched at the same exact moment all their warheads when they launch on the United States. And I am on record, Doug, and I'm telling you this. I wish this were wrong. It isn't wrong. You can challenge it, but I will say this. Those in the know exactly how dangerous it is. But Russia launches on target. That's how they time their coordinated SLBM, submarine launched ballistic missiles, their land-based missiles, and their Star Wars platforms, their equivalent. That means if it takes a greater amount of time to fly from their sub off of the West Coast to whatever target in the Midwest, that's all calculated, so all of their warheads basically sink at the same time. They may be not fired at the same time, but due to the velocity and all the different things you got to do in the missile world, they all hit at the same time. It's different if they launch at the same time. That blew my mind, and that really blew my mind. So I hope that everyone understands that. And again, Daniel's an Air Force guy, former Air Force guy. That should make a long time. They changed from the wait to wait and link. And the link means wait until, that means to key all of your navigation systems to hitting the target at the same time. If you have to launch one rocket 5 minutes earlier because it's come from the other side of the world, traveling at this velocity versus a hypersonic missile off of Catalina Island, then that's another launch, but they all hit at the same time. China is already using thorium-mercury mines. Thorium-mercury is the same, if you will, propulsion components that our electrogravitic craft, you know, lighter than a gravity craft, work on. Obviously, the controller reaction gives you the energy for propulsion and also cloaking. But you put it into an out-of-phase reaction and it creates immense explosions. So all the rumors of the subs up and down the West Coast, and we've got our birds out looking at the West Coast, but because of the Defense Department's, I would say this, political concern versus their warfighting capabilities, we don't have the necessary assets to deal with a technological base that's being used against us. Two fighters in 4 days, that's not coincidence. Our fighters' stealth being picked up, that's not coincidence. So, Daniel, again, and Doug, I want the people to know they need to be praying, they need to be repenting, and mercy. And I like what you said, Daniel. Repentance is a hard attitude, a continual wanting to be right for the Lord. It's not like the little boy that used to say his prayers at night. He printed out, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take," a childhood prayer. And after the first couple times, he basically just went to bed and said, "God, you know what my prayer are. It's on that sign at the end of the bed." It doesn't work that way. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, so Steve, you kind of led me into the next arena that I wanted to speak about. When the financial system crashes, and that's where we're headed, folks, we're headed for a crash. And I'm not talking recession. I'm not even talking Great Depression. I am talking beyond that. I am talking a crash that we will never recover from. On the heels of that, you will have civil unrest. You will have people starving. You will have war. Because as it was in World War I and World War II, what precipitates war is dollars or lack thereof, right? Is money. Follow the money.
Amen.
When the Chinese cannot be paid back all of the debt that we owe them or the Russians or anybody else, they will come, and you said it, Steve, for our stuff. They will want what we have. They, you know, you think about the hunger that is in China right now. They look at the United States. They look at our fertile land and they want it, right? They look at our national parks and they want them. So you are going to have, war on the heels of a financial collapse or during a financial collapse or perhaps just before a financial collapse. The point is that they could not bring about that war without the spending that they're doing now on purpose, right? They're diluting the dollar on purpose. This is what I want you all to understand, audience. Now, when you think about that, and then you listen to Steve Quayle when he's told you about these pre-positioned submarines off the West Coast, and folks, I've seen some of the intel. I will tell you that this is not conjecture on Steve's part. He's not just making this stuff up. This is happening. There is we call it logistics. The logistical line has already been set for the Russians. The logistical line for the Chinese have already been set. You pre-position troops before you attack. That is what we are looking at. So again, going back to Midnight Strikes, we talked about all of those things in that book. And what you are seeing now is all of these pieces being put into place right now. There's, Steve, as you know, there's like, I don't know, over 300 footnotes in Midnight Strikes that give you information that show you the evidence of the things that we talk about in the book. And what I wanted to do by putting all those footnotes there, because you'll get people going, "Oh, that's not true. He's just making that up. He's trying to sell." But no, there is the evidence. Those are the facts. So why is repentance important? Repentance is important because soon all of us will see the Lord. That doesn't mean that all of us are going to die all at the same time. But at the same time, we will die, and life is relatively short as compared to eternity. So therefore, if we are not living a life of repentance, if we are not looking toward the Lord on a daily basis, not, you know, for a food, for a provision, you know, for his goodness and his grace and his mercy, not because, you know, he's our sugar daddy, but because he's God. Because he loved you, because he sent his son for you. If we're not looking to him on a regular basis, then I would challenge what kind of walk that we have. Now think about that for a second. If your father comes into the house after a long day of work and you ignore him, or you just say two words to him, then you run off and do your own thing, and you never talk to him, even though he provides for you, even though he loves you, even though he is a father to you, What kind of relationship do you have with your earthly father? It's no different than with God, right? When our father has given us all that he's given and he loves us immensely and we ignore him, what kind of relationship do we have with him? We're going to have to explain that relationship with him someday when we stand before him. And the things on the earth, the physical things on the earth, the things in the news and the things in the behind the scenes that are happening, deals that are being made in back rooms that will cause a great part of humanity's demise are happening right now. And as a consequence, we are all going to see him sometime relatively soon. And I say soon, you know, within – Steve talked about – timing, you know, the word says that there's going to be a time in the very near future when a third of the earth is wiped out, a third of the sea, a third of mankind, a third of all the green stuff, right? A third of all the animals. So I think that time is coming relatively soon. We could get into a whole discussion of Nibiru, you know, or Wormwood or whatever the case may be. And we talk about that extensively in the book. But the point is that these things are happening now. And we can pussyfoot around with our supposed Christian belief system. I don't believe it. You know, I believe in the rapture and we're going to get out of here and all this other stuff. It doesn't matter. What matters is your heart action toward the Lord. Your theology, your eschatology doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with God. That's what matters.
Especially now.
Especially now. That's exactly my point, Doug. Especially now. Because in the physical realm, on the newspapers and in alternate media, we see that these things are occurring right now. This is tribulation. We are walking into these days, or should I say, we are walking in these days. So the point is that there's no time like the present to make sure that your walk with the Lord is right. So, you know, along with potential for war, but along with the future war that is coming, we are seeing everything on the earth revolt. The word says that the earth groans, that the sons of God groan, or the earth, Steve, help me out here, that the earth groans for
the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, sin has affected creation, the animals. I saw a cool story on Doug, and you appreciate your dog. I love my dog. And I love the animals, especially elephants. I've got a thing with elephants, but also, the dolphins are missing the interaction with the humans, or even bringing gifts they're not looking for a handout for humans. They're basically bringing gifts to shore for the thing. I mean, here's the deal. You're hearing great news stories about animals protecting lost children in the woods and stuff. It's interesting because it's like, I would say this to put it into terms. By the way, I'm not a fan of grizzly bears. I'm over the area in helicopters and I'm going, God, if we go down in an auto rotation, you know, I've got all my emergency survival stuff, but I don't want to end up as wolf bait, okay? I mean, you know, I've seen how wolf packs hunt. But the thing is that the all creation is travailing. You're hearing sounds. You're hearing, listen, most women, and I'm not a woman, I've never given birth. I was there, obviously, the birth of my son, Tyler, my other two children. The bottom line is that, I mean, it's usually not a quiet affair. The woman usually doesn't go, this is so pleasurable. They don't usually fall asleep. I mean, and as a husband, you go, how can anybody take that pain and live? You know, and men do not understand what women go through giving birth. I can tell you that, you know. Good night. But the thing is that they're travailing. There's sounds associated with the travail. There's sounds associated until the baby's born. And in our case, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to become so problematic. And the only way I can say this, Doug, and I mean, you and I know, we talk off air too, and I fight the fight seriously, even I pray about what I'm going to say on the show today. Actually, every time I go on with you, and even time I go on, even my whatever you call them podcasts, I'm saying, Lord, only let me go where it's safe to go, because I don't want to be, Lord, putting fear in anybody. I believe Jesus is the antidote for fear. Let me just say this. If what I talk about, Daniel talks about, and Doug talks about causes you fear, it's not us who are in the wrong, it's you, because you're not believing that God can deliver you. And Daniel, I don't know, you probably don't get as many emails, but Doug, are you seeing an increase in people emailing you, asking you if they can take their old life and still go to heaven? I am.
I've only had one in that fashion. So, and that's an honest answer.
Yeah, no. Thanks for honesty. You know, and again, I want to give hope to people. My definition of hope is His, Jesus, overcoming power every day. If I'm not in tapping into His, Jesus, overcoming power every day, if I'm not tapping into His overcoming power every day to take control of my tongue, Bible says the tongue can no man tame. On you, huskies. I could whip myself, flagellate myself, you know, not congratulate, flagellate, you know, cut myself. My tongue isn't going to come under control unless the Holy Spirit Himself takes control of my heart, because the heart is what produces the words of your mouth. That's why those who love Jesus cannot help but share that. The number one name hated under heaven is the only name given amongst men that a man can be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall bow, every tongue confess, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think my tongue is bowing when it should be confessing. The point being is that, Doug, we're soon to have what I would call a reality break interruption. Pat Buchanan asked the question on op-ed, I think, a week ago. I don't know if you saw it, Daniel. I don't know if you saw it, Doug. But he asked the question, would Americans settle for a second lockdown? My answer, even before reading his answer, was absolutely not. You cannot take a man's livelihood away. You cannot take his children away. And there comes a flashpoint. And we are at that flashpoint, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to go quietly into the FEMA camps, go ahead. I'm telling you, the FEMA camp that's in Colorado right now being built, the biggest underground camp and it's called an execution camp, 15 levels down. Elevators that take 4 boxcars down at once to different levels for processing. If you don't think that they have plans for beheading a 250,000 guillotines is like enough, you know, that's not a Vegematic commercial on TV in the early 60s. They're planning on beheading, and we know that in the Word of God, the souls of those beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, they hate Jesus. They hate Jesus, and they'll hate us. But greater is He, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. But if we don't believe that, then all we can do is basically succumb. S-U-C-C-U-M-B. Succumb. So, ladies and gentlemen, but the whole purpose of writing books, the whole purpose of broadcasting, the whole purpose from a Christian standpoint of the conferences is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I'll even add another one. We're giving you stuff so you can put on yourselves the full armor of God, that you'll be able to withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. You start with the helmet of salvation. If you don't have knowledge, the lack of knowledge. God says this. He says, you're not destroyed. His people aren't destroyed because they don't know how to, you know, hold a sword. Excuse me, use a sword. Or that they don't know how to basically hold a shield. You know, they don't have fighting skills. He said this, you are destroyed for your lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge, the lack, number one, of who God really is, how God really can deliver His people, who the enemy is, what the enemy's tactics will be, and what God's plan for countering the tactics is, to give you the victory. Go ahead, Daniel. That's victory.
And Daniel, if I can interject something here just momentarily. Steve, you said something about you put the two words together, fear porn. And I've seen an uptick of late of people accusing us, and I say that collectively,
yes,
of purveying fear porn. That this is the commodity that we sell is fear porn. And thinking about this, And in actually doing an introspective going through various shows that I've done, I've come to the conclusion, and please correct me if I'm incorrect, that those people accusing us of promoting fear porn or purveying in fear porn are either, they're either not Christians.
Absolutely.
Or, and not Christians, and hate Christianity, or they say they're Christians, but they're not being honest, or they have no idea what Christianity really is all about. That's kind of what I'm thinking. So I don't know. But, you know.
No, you know, that's true, because here's the deal. Fear porn was a term that was utilized by the Central Intelligence Agency. It was also designed for a neuro-linguistic programming. It's like a hypnotic command to kill. It is designed to basically denigrate, castigate, and cause people not to think about the information that's being presented. Prophet cried out, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil." And so the term fearmonger, fear porn, whatever they say, they'd say that I sell fear for sell my books, or I sell this, or I sell that. I have talked about so many varied subjects over the year, and here's the deal. To quote Bill Casey, and I interviewed his bodyguard, one of the most famous men in the world of full contact karate, Frank Dukes, D-U-X, the secret man. When Bill Casey was quoted as saying, "We'll know our effects of mind control have been effective when everything the American people believe is a lie." The people that have accused me of being that, one specifically says he spent, you know, I don't know how many hours in the presence of the of one of the ascended masters in Himalaya, that he had a one-on-one face encounter with God, and yet these, Doug, are our protagonists. One of them blasphemed the Holy Ghost. The one that, you know, and so the thing is that there's no fear of God in the land. But when you hear those terms, ladies and gentlemen, and I had to write a friend of mine, not you, Doug, but another Doug, say, "Listen, I don't care who it is. Any Christian that uses those terms, in my opinion, is suspect when it's being used against," quote. Now, see, what they're doing is they're turning the term fear porn and fear monger against the people trying to tell the truth. But now it's even taken another twist. They're saying that it's the official mouthpieces, the mainstream vomit brokers, the mainstream press that's trying to put fear in us. They know this, that fear is a motivator. My position is, and, you know, to hell with their arguments, simply is this. The antidote for fear is knowledge and faith. And when the knowledge provokes you to say, "Do you mean God's word really talks about this stuff? Why would he tell us about this stuff except he loves us? Sure that the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets." God's the only God that declares the end of a thing at the beginning of a thing. He's the only one that exists outside of time. So do fallen angels. But in God's situation, God created them in the first place. So they forget their roots. So when I hear fear porn, fear monger, what's the other one, Daniel? There's another one they always like to use. All those terms are this. They are the, I will call you this, the hypnotist from hell trying to dissuade the listener by putting them into a, if you will, a revulsion mode. And this is all basically mind control, MK Ultra stuff. And they use other terms too. Go ahead, Daniel, your take.
Well, you know, things, I go back to what I said earlier today, what the Lord reminded me about the prophets, right? When the prophets of old said what they said, people, I am sure, used the vernacular of the day to call them fearmongers. I'm absolutely positive. When Noah, and we have a little hint of this, when Noah was building the ark, what did they say to Noah? "You're crazy. It's never rained." So you're always going to have these naysayers, but the fact is that unless people know the truth, unless they know what's coming, they can't prepare, Steve. They can't prepare physically. They can't prepare spiritually. They can't prepare emotionally. So you're going to have people, because the vast majority of America, let's use America because we live here, America as an example, the vast majority of Americans will be absolutely unprepared for what's happening. Absolutely. In so many ways, and they would be shocked, And they will believe the lie. They will believe that because there will be a time when they turn this all around, they blame it on us. They'll blame it on Christians, right? So when they do, they will believe the lie because they weren't willing to believe the truth. So what we are seeing on every echelon, and I said this at the beginning, we are seeing on every echelon is the end of the age enveloping us is a better word. I was going to say that, you know, approaching us, but it's not. It's enveloping us. It's all around us. The end of the age is biblical. The end of the age is in the Word, right? We're not talking about things that the Bible doesn't talk about. For instance, the Bible talks about, Jesus specifically talked about earthquakes in diverse places, right? Steve, you just did a movie, Cascadia, the big one, the real big one. So, and we are seeing in every area of the world huge earthquakes ripping off. And yet, at the same time, you mentioned that there is seismic activity in California and Nevada that's generated by man-made weapons. So you're seeing every echelon in the Bible, every end times phenomenon that the Bible even partially addresses to actually come to fruition now in our lifetimes. So when we are talking about the facts, when you are talking about things that are actually happening and you point to the Word and you say, hey, look, that's what the Word says. The Word says this is going to happen. The Word says that there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. There's an earthquake here. There's an earthquake here. There's a threat here. This is going on. Is that fear porn? That's fact. So if you don't want to address the facts and you want to live in la-la land and believe that God loves me and I'm all good and he will, swoop me out of here in a pre-tribulation rapture, then you got your head in the sand and you're not dealing with reality. So maybe what we should call this instead of fear porn is fear reality, because fear is a healthy thing, right? You don't put your head in the fire because you are fearful that you're going to get burnt, right? So fear keeps us on our toes. Fear keeps us on edge. But at the same time, we don't have to walk in fear, because the peace that surpasses all understanding that the Word talks about via the Holy Spirit is ours to have if we are walking. Steve, you mentioned a very powerful thing that few people, I think, these days actually believe. You mentioned that the power, the Word says that greater is he in you than he that is in the earth. That the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And I remember, and I might have told you this story, I remember I was stationed in Mississippi, and there was a lightning storm, and it struck two trees that were actually side by side in my front yard. I must have been 25, 26 at the time. I'd only been a Christian for about 5 or 6 years. And so the next day, I was renting the house. The next day, the landlord sends out a tree guy to look at the trees. And the trees inside of them, the bark was all stripped off because of the way that the lightning went bing, 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 and it went in the side of the house and caused a small fire. I put it out. So this guy, this is redneck or hillbilly wisdom, right? He's looking at it. I'm not kidding. This is Mississippi in the middle of the summer. The guy's got overalls on. He's got a big old belly. He's chewing tobacco. And he's got a clipboard. And he says, well, those trees are going to have to come out. And I said, why? They're beautiful. They give us shade. They make the house look good. I don't understand. Why can't we just leave them? They look fine to me. And he looked at me like I had three heads. He said, redneck wisdom, right? He said, he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, son, the molecular structure in them trees has changed. They're going to die. I was like, oh, okay. I guess we got to take them out. The Lord said to me right then, Steve, in the middle of that, he said, and that was the power of my little pinky. That was a flick of my little pinky. And then he said to me, that is the power that lives inside of you. The power that raised Christ from the dead. from the dead. That's not to say, audience, that I caused lightning. That's not what I'm talking about. The point was out of Scripture, right, that God said that we as believers have that power via the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Steve, in these days, you want to talk about hope. You want to talk about doing away with fear. If Christians understood who they were in these days, at the end of the age, we would be a powerful force to be reckoned with. The devil couldn't do what he's intending to do if we only walked as we should. But we don't walk like that. We don't repent. We don't fall on our face before God. We don't try to walk uprightly before him. We don't have our noses in the word, right? Audience, the whole reason that we talk about the things that we talk about, aside from the fact that God gave them to us to talk about, is to prepare you for this day. And so if you are willing to not only take the truth as it is, to take the evidence for yourself, to digest it and to investigate it yourself, and then repent and then walk as you should, then we will be the church that we're supposed to be. That's the whole point of talking about the things that we talk about. It's not to scare you. It's not to shock you. It's not to sell books. It's not to be personal. It's not any of those things. It's to prepare the body of Christ for who we are supposed to be. Now, folks, there's no more time to play. We are walking into these days. We've already entered them. We've crossed the threshold into at the end of the age. Midnight strikes and all the things that we talked about and all the things that are coming that are already being implemented. All of the crazy stuff is here. There is no more time to be messing around. So, Steve, what would you say to people considering the fact that we have entered these days? What would be the best advice you could give them?
The only way any of us are going to make it through this is not by might nor our wit, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. The thing that separated the Christians, the early church, that everybody wants like the Book of Acts experience, is they obeyed Jesus and waited on him until the promise of the Father was given. People, I saw a misapplication, a well-meaning authoress, a lady on the internet, but she didn't understand what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the workings of miracles, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, discerning of spirits. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and not only speaking in tongues, but the language of angels and the interpretation thereof when in public. The prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is different than the offices of a prophet. But you can't do it our way when we're devil. The devil knows this. As long as he gets Christians to look to themselves to get the victory, to look to themselves to get through the enemy's minefield, when we take our eyes off of him, and somebody asked me, just Daniel, Doug, you'll appreciate this before they knew I was going on with you today, they absolutely said, then what's use of living? I'm telling you this, when you're down, it's probably not best to read Ecclesiastes, and because everything becomes vexation of spirit. But when your righteous spirit is vexed and you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I came in the world with nothing. I'm going out with nothing except clothed in your righteousness, except with whatever works that were born of the Spirit of God, not born of the spirit of self. My best advice is this. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter how mad you get at him. I've learned that the real way. And at one point, Daniel, the greatest thing I think the Lord did for me to recognize it's the devil and not him, he said, Steve, what have I ever done to hurt you? Well, it took a broken toe because I kicked a wrought iron breakfast table chair, you know, and a little bit of an expression of frustration. And the Lord just simply said, Steve Steele is stronger than your toe. What have I ever done to hurt you? Have I ever let you down? No, Jesus. Have I ever betrayed you? No, Lord. Have I ever hurt you? No, Lord. And then he asked me a simple question. Why are you mad at me? I said, you're right, Lord. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself. Focus on the enemy of your soul. That's the devil. Recognize that God wants only the promises of his word, and all things that pertain unto life and godliness are in him. And the Bible says in Philippians that our God shall supply all our needs by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to do what you can do. I've got to do what I can do. And we've got to obey. Noah moved by faith. He built the ark. If most of my critics who are opposed to the message of preparation, except probably preparation H because they're acting like hemorrhoids. Sorry, I just couldn't resist that. The bottom line is if they would prepare, they'd understand it's a biblical mandate. Joseph delivered all of Israel from starvation. The woman who sent her little boy with the loaves of bread and the fish to go hear Jesus, out of that woman's faith, the ultimate survival mom, God worked the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles, on his provision. God sent manna from heaven. You know what? The people complained. God sent them quail, and guess what? They vomited. I understand there is a necessity to understand, but here's what I would ask everyone. I'd ask everyone, Lord, increase my hunger for you, because the Bible says that we seek him, we'll find him when we seek him with all of our heart, not a divided heart. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say something. I hate it that I have to say this, but what I've seen in the spirit 48 years ago when God gave me the panorama of history, I saw people betraying their family members unto death. Doug, death. We're already seeing it in what I call the Stasi think lines, okay? The Stasi, the East German intelligence organization that the FEMA brought over before the Department of Homeland Security or Department of Homeland Insecurity existed. And they had Marcus Wolf teach them how to set up an internal self-erecting intelligence dossier. When I call Facebook Faces of Death book, you guys, I have the self-righteous and indignant people saying, what right do you have to say that? It's my community. I said, I know what Facebook will turn into, Faces of Death book. Anybody into facial recognition? Do you know how many Christians in China were slaughtered and destroyed by facial recognition? Social credit score? That's BS. I'll let you figure that one out. It's basically targeting, identification, and annihilation. Call it targeting, identification, and murder. Call it targeting, whatever. It is the continual surveillance to make sure you toe the line. And bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, remember, all the technocrats, the bureaucrats, including the gates of hell, and everything that's coming through the gates of hell, have one goal in mind, to knock off, kill, murder, slay, annihilate, do away with 6.5 billion people. Now, trust me, most people listening, Doug Hagman, Daniel Holdings, and I today, aren't the elite in the 500 million that get to live. But they don't even understand, even the elite that have pledged their allegiance to Lucifer, when they find themselves in hell saying, but he promised! And Satan just simply snickers and say, I never keep my promises. I never keep them. God will always keep them. Jesus loves you. He said even unto the end of the age, he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, I have one passion, I have one purpose, I have one direction, and I have one tongue in this matter. The only one who can get me through is Jesus. The only one who can deliver me from everything coming against me is Jesus, and the only one who can set me free of everything that's in me that would come against Jesus is the Spirit of the living God. So, Daniel, I'll let you finish. How much time do we have? I'll give the last minutes to Daniel.
We have a minute 30 left. Daniel, it's yours. And, Steve, that was very well said, and I really appreciate that. And I think that was very well received. Go ahead, Daniel, for a minute 30.
Well, I will make it brief, Doug, so you can wrap up. The Word says that greater is he in you than he that is in the earth. You have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you if you are truly his. So my first question is, are you truly his? Have you repented? Really repented? Are you walking with him? If not, today's the day of your salvation. Today's the day to fix it. Today's the day to get on your face before him. Secondarily, you need to understand what's coming. Watch Steve's True Legends Conference. Get those books, Steve. I think you have a package deal, the promise and the problem and the promise on your website, both Midnight Strikes and Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, I think is there, stevequill.com. So folks, this is happening. Whether you like it or not, it's happening. You need to be prepared, and you need to be in the game. Because if you're not in the game, you'll be deceived or you will be killed. And you know what? Only, as Steve said, only Jesus can deliver you from either. So, amen. Doug, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you, Steve Quayle, and you, Dan Holdings, danielholdings.com, of course, for Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed, and stevequayle.com, gen6.com for the video on demand. Folks, you've got to watch that. It fills in so many blanks, and it's very, very well done. With that, I'm going to wish you all a good night, and thank you for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Blessings, Doug. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Daniel.
See you, Steve.
Have a good night, everyone. Folks, that'll do it. Tomorrow, scheduled, coming out of the gate, Mancow coming on. In fact, I think Ted will probably join us in that time. And it'll be a fun interview. Japanese Sea Collector's Call, Mancow. All right. Have a good night, everyone. Remember, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. Good night.